Hello everyone, it's Monday the 23rd of January 2023, and we reconvene once again with our verifiable credentials for education task force in the credentials community group of W3C. This is Simone speaking today. I'll be chairing this session, and as always, we are going to go through some housekeeping items before we get into the juicy part of today's call. So bear with us.
Simone, I'm sorry to interrupt you. This is Carrie. Yeah. I'm just looking at the transcriber, and it started, and then it stopped.
All right. Thank you for noticing that.
Yeah.
Let me stop it and start it again.
Oh, now I see it again. So I don't know. I missed you. I'll keep an eye on it.
Thank you for having my back. I know.
No, always.
Transcriber doesn't necessarily get always started. All right. Great. Seems like it's there. Awesome. All right. So let's start with IP notes. As most of you know, anyone is free to participate in our calls. However, if you are intending to make any substantial contributions, you need to be a member of the Credentials Community Group and have full IPR agreement signed. Those are easily done. I mean, you can sign up for a membership at CCG through the links that are in our agenda that have been circulated. It's just very easy. You need to have a W3C account and sign a contributor license agreement. Moving on to call notes. So we are recording these meetings. There's an audio transcript and also some text transcript if our scribing helps. And everything that we say and discuss is archived online in the Credentials Community Group GitHubs. To keep things organized and communicate and discuss, we use the chat. If you want to be put on the queue, just type in Q+. And you will be added to the queue, and Q minus to be removed from the queue. That is as easy as that. Yeah, just as a reminder, let's try to be brief when asking questions and to the point. Great. So let's see if there's anyone new that I want to introduce himself or herself, or anyone that hasn't been with us in a while and feels like they wanted to reintroduce themselves. Right, let me see. Feels like it's a cozy and friendly group today. So feel free if you feel like you want to jump in at any time to do it. Just cue yourself. Announcement and reminders. This is where we have an opportunity to share what's happening in our ecosystem, events or things that just happened. So Carrie, feel free to break the ice. Thank you.
Sure. Hey, everyone. Simone, by the way, I'm still not seeing, now the transcribing has stopped again. So I'm not sure what is up. We can try starting. Oh, see, it's recording me. See, I see me in there. I'm sorry, looking at it now in the chat, but it's not recording you. Anyway. I just wanted to let folks know that we published the videos for the PlugFest 2 demos. You can get it, a link to it on the PlugFest 2 webpage. I'm going to put that in the chat for you right now. It's right at the top. You'll see participant list with videos. And then this is actually the list. Let me give you the link here. It took so long, but we had a lot of to go through. This was a much more complex PlugFest because we had issuers issuing to two wallets, or wallets issuing to two issuers, and then we also had multiple, more than two per some of the entries, and then some folks, you know, combined their videos. So it took us a while to sort it all out, but you should be able to get a link to all of the organizations who participated on this page. See what they submitted at and the wallets and the issuers they interacted with, and then a link to the demo video. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Carrie. Great to see that video coming through. If no one else has anything, I did wanted to point out that there is some interesting work happening in Canada. I noticed that Tim Buma was with us earlier. I would have called on him to share that. There was an email being shared with the CCG. We may get back to it if Tim joins back again and hear about that. Ted is in the queue. Go ahead, Ted.
Just a quick thing. The transcriber goes deaf just like the rest of us sometimes. It's intermittent and unpredictable. Sometimes restarting the transcriber will fix it. Sometimes the users that it's not hearing also need to drop and rejoin.
Thank you so much. Carrie, you're still in the queue. Maybe I did not remove you. I assume that is the case, right? Thank you. All right. Great. Thank you, everyone. Let's jump into today's topic. We are very happy to have Jen Schreiber from Workday Credentials join us today. Workday has been doing some awesome work around credentials for a while. More recently, they've just really worked out some very interesting interop with a bunch of other organizations in this domain. And so after having met at IIW recently, we invited her to come and share what she's been working on around interop. Particularly, this is going to be about JWT VC interop with some interesting use cases. And so without further ado, I'd like to invite Jen to unmute herself and share whatever she has with us today. Thank you, Jen, again.
Awesome. Thanks for that intro. Okay, let me just start sharing my screen. Okay, you got the slides?
Yep. Thank you, Jen.
Okay. Perfect. So I'll try to keep an eye on the queue. I'm not exactly sure how to do that. But if there are questions throughout, I don't know, Simone, if you want to chime in or we can save them to the end.
I got you. If there's anything that needs to be addressed in the flow of your presentation, I'll probably interrupt, but hopefully that's not the case and we can take all the discussions at the end.
Perfect. So as I got introduced, I'm Jen Schreiber, a software engineer at Workday, primarily working on VC interop. And I met Simone at IAW and have been kind of attending this task force on and off since then. So I'm excited to be able to present here and share with you all some of the work that we've been doing. So I'm going to start by a little bit of an intro on what is interoperability. I'm sure this part will be preaching to the choir with you all as, you know, a very pro interop group. Next, I'll get into the JOT VC interoperability profile itself, share with you all about the technology, kind of some of the reasoning behind that, its impact on open badges, and then I'll end with a nice demo. Okay, let's get started. So what is interoperability, especially related to verifiable credentials? And I know you all are familiar with this because all of the PlugFest initiatives this last year, but interoperability is the ability of different systems to talk to each other. And in my mind, interoperability is really the marker of a mature and successful verifiable credential ecosystem. Without interop, without being able to share and issue credentials across multiple wallets and verifier and issuer providers, like, you can't really embrace the true power of VCs and its use cases, and its power really gets stifled. So why should you care about interoperability? Interoperability empowers the end user. It really empowers the holder of the credential. In the context of this task force, that's often the student, to be active in their learning or education journey. They can take their credentials with them across institutions as they change universities. They can get new credentials along the way, but we really need interoperability to enable this. Interoperability also prevents a closed ecosystem. We want to avoid the situation where there's kind of like one wallet to rule them all, or one issuer, one verifier. By opening the ecosystem and having interoperability, we can really solve for a wide range of use cases and make our holders like quite successful in that education journey. And lastly, interoperability promotes VC uptake. This one's kind of self-explanatory, but the more issuers, verifiers, and wallets we have, the more popular verifiable credentials will come. And I think that's kind of the end goal that we all want, where VCs become really ubiquitous within technology. So currently, there's lots of great specifications that you all know, whether they're published by IETF or OpenID, DIF, W3C. Lots of specs for issuing and verifying VCs between wallets, issuers, and verifiers. But because of all these specs, the wallets and the verifiers and the issuers, they all have to decide which specifications they want to operate under and support, and hope that anybody that they want to communicate with, any of these external parties, also support these same specs. And specs by nature are very broad, flexible, and often pretty unopinionated. And all of this optionality within the specifications make it quite complex and really expensive to deliver code, maintain a solution, and issue and verify as VCs. And specs alone cannot, as you all have seen, I'm sure, they can't ensure interoperability. And so we really need a specification profile. Specification profiles outline the way in which multiple parties agree to implement a given set of specifications, and they try to strip all but required optionality from a specification. So let's say in the use case of a JOT VC, right? So without a specification profile, a implementer might have to support, let's say, like 40 different JOT signing algorithms because they don't know which JOT algorithm, you know, whoever they want to communicate also supports. But if we were to use a specification profile, let's say that requires maybe only 2 signing algorithms, that's overall like a 20x reduction in complexity with just that one constraint of signatures. So you can visualize that if we were to go through this step for all the different specifications in a flow, it would really reduce that cost and complexity for implementers. So in comes the JOT VC interoperability profile that I've been working on within the DIF, or Decentralized Identity Foundation. And we're working on this within the Claims and Credentials Working Group in the JOT VC interoperability profile work item. And there's been lots of great contributors to the profile thus far, including me and my team at Workday, Microsoft, Ping, Matter, IBM, Spruce, Gen Digital, and then also other companies who are starting to implement the profile. Okay, so now I wanted to break down a little bit of the, oh, I heard a ping. Oh, there's someone in the queue and they're out now.
Go ahead, okay. Jen, it was me.
Sorry for it. Yeah, no problem. So this slide just kind of goes over our stages of the interop profile. We've divided the profile into 3 stages: presentation, issuance, and portability or display of VCs. So the presentation stage involves enables the holder A to be able to present a compliant VC to verifier B. Issuance stage represents enabling an issuer B to be able to issue a credential to holder A. And then portability and display involves consistent UIs and the movement of VCs between different wallets. So Right now, the first stage presentation of VCs, that segment of the profile has been published within DIF, and you can find that online. Issuance is being actively worked on. Us editors are planning on publishing the first draft of that in the next couple weeks, so you can see that live. And we haven't really started looking at portability and display yet. But if you were to compare this to the PlugFest going on within this work item, the JFF PlugFest, it kind of went a little bit in the opposite direction. PlugFest 1, I think, started with display, and PlugFest 2 with issuance. And then I think that the last PlugFest will be presentation. So same content, but a little bit of a different order. Okay, so let's talk about the technology and the profile itself. So the JOT VC interop profiles are based on OpenID for verifiable credentials, OpenID for VP, and OpenID for VCI, with some unused optionality to removed. Remember, like, kind of the goal of the specification profile is to make it as simple for implementers to write the code and maintain the solutions and promote kind of like easy, quick interop. So we're using JOT VCs with DID methods of DID ION or DID WEB. We're soon to be adding DID JWK. The two key types that are supported are ED25519 and SECP256K1 keys. We're using well-known DID configuration, which is a DIF spec for link domain verification that enables some basically trust for the domain and for the identities of the implementers. For revocation, status list 2021. And then issuance right now is just supporting just-in-time issuance, no deferred issuance, and only an authorization code, no pre-authorization code. With this stack, I think we've had this mantra throughout the whole experience of developing these interop profiles, and that has been really that we're seeking progress and not perfection, with the recognition that really no specification profile is going to be universally accepted after its first iteration, and it kind of needs to adapt and grow naturally as implementers' needs change. But this is like that first kind of first progress towards that. And over time, I think successful profiles, there will probably be a couple competing profiles, and hopefully they'll likely converge, and we get this kind of universal standard for the ecosystem, and that will make interop very easy and convenient for everybody. So ChatGPT, I think, put it really nicely that the path to success lies in constant improvement, not the pursuit of an unattainable perfection. Okay, let's talk use cases because this task force loves the use cases. So the JOT VC interoperability profiles were developed with the workplace credential use case in mind. This is a credential type that's issued to a user by its workplace organization. We're calling this a verified employee. And the users of this type of credential would be employees, students, staff, contractors, or vendors of a workplace. And a workplace credential could support users in their journey when they onboard to a new company, access to different workplace applications, maybe even alumni scenarios. So there's lots of use cases that a workplace credential could support. And open badges really fit nicely into the interoperability profile, especially the open badges V3 data model, which are just verifiable credentials. And they can be encoded just like any VC into a JOT. And once the badges are encoded in JOTs, we can use the interoperability profile to issue and verify them like we would any other JOT VC. And that can, again, like, ensure interoperable issuance and presentation of these OB3 JOT VCs and really enhance that student journey. So the new OB3 it's just really exciting when you are able to use it with a profile like this. Okay, and then the last portion of my presentation is a demo. So I thought that you all would probably want to see the interoperability profile in action. And so for the demo, I'm going to be using a little scenario of a student. And in this case, my name as a student is Pat Smith, and let's just say I'm a university student getting my BS in chemistry. And so on the right of the screen, you can see this is my wallet. This is a command line wallet. I'll get into that when I show you the actual demo. But I have three credentials in my wallet. One is a research assistant. I work in an organic chemistry lab, and there's certain safety requirements. So I had to go through training, and that gave me this RA verified employee credential. I'm also a student, so I have a student credential. Maybe that gives me a discount to the movies or allows me access into a building. And then the last credential in the wallet is a teaching assistant credential. So I taught Chem 101 last semester, and I needed to have access to a grading website to be able to add grades for students' exams. And this credential has since been revoked because, let's say, I did that last semester and now I shouldn't have access to the system. So that sets the stage a little bit for the demo. And I think I need to stop sharing and then reshare again so I can show you the demo. Let's do that real quick. So this demo is pre-recorded because I'm not bold enough to do a live demo, but I will talk through it. So, okay. So you should see, I think that looks good from what I can tell.
Yep, it does.
Okay. Great. So this is a screenshot of my command line. So I'm going to be demoing this flow with a command line wallet that my team at Workday developed just for internal purposes. That way we could easily iterate on interop, and it just makes it really quick and fun to show you all. Okay, so the demo wallet has some convenient commands in it to issue and verify VCs. You can scan QR codes and list different credentials that I have in my wallet. So I'll use this demo wallet VCLS command so that you can see all the VCs in my wallet. These are the three VCs that I showed you on the previous slide. I have my student, my RA, and then my revoked TA credential. Okay, so I'm going to first show you, we're going to probably go through like five, I think, verifiers in this flow. Don't worry, some of them will be at like 1.5x speed, so it's only like a 3-minute demo. But I think by showing all the verifiers, you can see the power of interoperability profile. So let's play. So on the right side, I have a Microsoft verifier. And I use this demo wallet scan command to scan the QR code. With my demo wallet, I just screenshot the QR code, much like I'd use a camera on a mobile app to scan a QR code. So after I scan it, then my demo wallet will run through all these checks that are required in the profile. So I will resolve the verifiers did and on the Ion network and get its public key material. I'll check the link domain of the URL to make sure that I can trust this verifier. That's the text in green. And then my wallet will loop through the credentials and check which credentials match the presentation definition defined by the verifier. So this profile is using Presentation Exchange. So after that, I'm going to choose my credential. In this case, I'm going to share a student credential. And my response has been accepted. And then you can see that the presentation has been verified on the verifier. Okay, so next I'm going to go through on a 1.5x speed, lots of other verifiers, starting with a ping verifier. It'll do all the same checks, just quicker this time. And I'm going to share the student credential. Next, I'm going to go through a JET. This one verifier was made by Gen Digital. Again, scanning the QR code. So you can see really by all of these examples, the power of the JotVC interoperability profile. It makes it very easy, and the wallet has all the confidence that if the verifier follows all of the specifications and directions within the profile, then communication will be so easy. So this is a Spruce verifier. You can see, I think this time I shared a research assistant credential. And here there's the credential subject. And then lastly, I'm going to pause it real quick. This last verifier, this is a verifier developed by Auth0 Lab. And the most exciting thing about this verifier is I just learned about this verifier on Wednesday in our last DIF meeting. And I tested it out for the first time on Friday as I was recording these videos. And because they followed the JotVC presentation profile to a T, I was actually able to present my credentials to this verifier and have success on the first try. So I think that's pretty amazing and shows you really how much following a specification profile really reduces all of the friction. So I'm going to run through this one really quick as well. Run through my scan command. Anybody who's tried interop and sharing credentials between wallets, even you all who participated in the Plugfest, you know that like in reality, interop is very hard, and there's so many little details that you have to work through. And by following a profile, like it just reduces all that. So there you go, success on the first try. And then last demo, I'm going to have this verifier check revocation status of the credential. So it wants to make sure that a credential it receives isn't revoked. We're using revocation status or status list 2021 for revocation. So I'm going to try to be a little sneaky and shared a revoke credential. This will be my TA Chem 101. And you can see that the verifier was not happy about the credential status, and that's exactly the outcome that we wanted. So I hope that through all of these demos and seeing, you know, quickly each verifier run through that, you might be able to a little bit appreciate what this JotVC interoperability profile enables and how through it we can have a successful interop. So that is pretty much the bulk of what I wanted to share. I'm happy to take any questions. I'll stop sharing or talk about any of our experiences with the JotVC interoperability profile. But I'll give some time for questions if they come in the chat.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you very much. Let's see how the queue builds up in the chat. You're getting a lot of claps already, so impressive work. I wanted to ask you one first question. If you in your slides, you sort of lined up how your own path, you know, in terms of, you know, the profiling was, and you started with verification, then we went to issuing and then to display, which felt like it was the kind of opposite that in Plugfest we took. However, although, you know, for Plugfest 3, you know, the focus of Plugfest 3 is, you know, still being debated, and Sharon is here, so she could, you know, I'm sure, weigh in. But verification feels is like one place where we might go. And given that you have already addressed that, I'm sure that could be, you could share some great experiences and sort of practices in having addressed the verification challenge already. So I'm sure that might be something that we engage on further in the near future.
Yeah, definitely. I was thinking that as well, because one of the whole tracks of the PlugFest is based on OpenID for VC. So it fits in very nicely, and I love to see the overlap.
Let's see if there's anyone in the queue again. I do have sort of the obvious question. I think, you know, when I saw that, you know, you're sort of doing a verification for, you know, employability in a sense, you know, where you are employed at, and you've been working with Microsoft as well. So is this going to hint at also Microsoft and maybe hopefully LinkedIn, you know, playing a bit more in entering the verifiable space for claims of employability? Is that something that, I mean, you could comment on, or was the work you did with Microsoft also part of addressing this?
Yeah, so I believe Microsoft Entra and that product area is based on the interoperability profile. So they were kind of developing with that use case in mind. From Workday's perspective, this is all not productized on our end, but really our team is focused on building out the specifications and the profile so that one day we might be able to move in that direction.
Great. So effectively, if you're an employee of Workday and Workday has this, you know, capability of issuing, you know, verifiable credentials, you know, to, you know, its employers, that could be shared in the Microsoft environment. And then wherever that leads, that's interesting. So I guess, stay tuned. Let's all stay tuned and see where that goes. But thanks for breaking the ice there. I mean, this is the first time that I kind of see Microsoft playing in this space in with an interop angle. So
yeah, I think it's, oh,
go ahead.
I heard another comment.
I know.
I think it just enables some really exciting possibilities. I'm not sure which of those will become a reality. Really, you could use the interop profile for any use case, right? You could use it for sharing skills with open badges. You could use it for a workplace credential. You could use it for an access credential. So there's lots of different use cases. And by focusing on the specifications and the protocols to create interoperability, we're enabling that future where like any application could work. So in my mind, it's more about we're like kind of setting the stage for whichever use case or application of VCs becomes more ubiquitous or kind of a reality.
Yeah, finger crossed for that.
Well, it's a future that we all hope for, right? Like why we're doing all this.
Yeah, we are relentless optimists here. This is what drives our work.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you a bit more about Workday. So Workday is a big employer. It's a builder of enterprise system, both in the HR space, in the student space as well, but they also have its own learning and development space. So where do the work of Workday credentials fit? Could you share a bit more about what the journey has been so far, where it is?
Yeah. So right now, we're in strictly like, kind of like a proof of concept stage. So Workday was very early in the adoption of VCs. You know, there has been people at Workday working on VCs. I don't know for the last, I'm trying to think of my timeline. It's 2023, maybe like 5 years, right? So being very early in the ecosystem, a lot of the standards just weren't where they needed to be to productize credentials. And without standards and even without interop, like it's hard to have that future of VCs that we all want. So, Workday now is pulling back and in the phase where we're putting our energy more into working on the standard side and, working on the profile and not committing to a product at this point. But it's hard to be an early adopter, right?
Yeah, I mean, you certainly got, I think that early entry into the space by Workday got moved the needle a little bit.
Yes. You know?
Then it's been certainly, I mean, it may have scaled back or to the side in a sense, but certainly that was, I think many in this call, you know, looked at that as, wow, something is moving. And so that kudos for that anyways.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, like it should take some iterations to get this right. And it's not easy work that we're all doing. And, you know, teaching the general public about credentials, about decentralized identity, like all of that takes time, and also getting the standards where they need to be to have the credential world that we all want.
Yeah, great. Awesome. By the way, shout out to, you know, also, you know, other colleagues that are here. Keith, you know, was an early person that I remember speaking to, you know, back then. So I'm glad that we're all still engaged trying to, you know, get this right.
Yes.
All right. Carrie is in the queue. Carrie, go ahead.
Yes. Hey, Jen, thank you for this presentation. Really appreciate it. I have a question for you. We've been working on the Open Badges stuff for a while now, and here we are. You know, we're getting to this time where we're making a lot of progress on, I'm just going to call it the envelope aspect of verifiability, right? And doing the interop stuff, in terms of exchanging. One thing that's starting to come up more and more when people are reaching out to me is, vocabulary and payload and like semantic interoperability. And there are standards for that, and Open Badges has a whole lot of metadata that could be used. And then there's other standards coming, you know, and taxonomies available. And I was just sort of wondering about your perspective on that in terms of like the understandability of these credentials as we start sending them around.
So understandability from like a technical perspective for the implementers or more for the holders?
More for the verifiers and the relying parties, like the payload data, right? The description yeah. of these credentials, which I find is one of the most challenging parts of the work we're doing in this task force, because there are so many different types of credentials that we're trying to communicate.
Oh, I see. Like credential types is more what you're talking about.
So we have, yeah. So for instance, you know, right now we mostly have badges, but we can say that credential is, it could be a diploma, it could be a certification. But then in the credential subject and the actual achievement, we may have like fields in there that sort of give more information, right?
The schema.
That kind of metadata. This, yeah, yeah. So in your world, you talk about it in terms of schema, right? In the linked data world, we talk about it more as like metadata properties.
I see.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. What a complex topic, schemas.
Yeah, we have time.
We always, you know, I would say that because this profile is like really use case agnostic, we try not to get too into like what schema you would use, right? Like we have the workplace credential and the verified employee that follows a certain metadata. But besides that, we're not really like making an opinion on you have to use the profile with this, because it's just so complex and there is really no, it's not set in stone. I would say kind of what you were alluding to, Carrie. So I don't really have a good answer to that. I hope that as different use cases develop or as different, verifiers would decide, you know, like I'm accepting a badge, only badges, or I'm accepting this, like we would get to some sort of standard way to express that. But I'm not really sure what that looks like.
And, you know, someday, I think it'd be great to revisit this with you in Workday, because I think you are working more on employment credentials. And, a lot of times we talk about, you know, education, achievements, but this work, this task force is both. And even though we aren't specifically saying, so we're sort of implying that experiences is in work experience or education too. So I'm curious, yeah, to see at some point, like if employers and HR systems start using different sort of schemas than the education ones, and how we can sort of I'll figure that out, right?
Yeah.
Speaking out loud a little bit.
Right. Like, there's one thing about this, you know, speaking the same language of implementation, and then also you have to understand the credential itself.
That's right. And,
yeah. Or else, yeah. Like, where's the value? So I think that's really important.
Deb, go ahead.
Hey, Jen. Thanks. This is really helpful. Sorry, I meant to leave my camera on. And great to see how this work is progressing, especially across major players who are going to be super influential in this space. So thanks, Jerry, for bringing up the payload. And I put a link in the chat to the handbook for the credential transparency description language. I have a question to this group in general. So CTDL covers all different types of education and training credentials, you know, diplomas, badges, degrees, certificates, et cetera, as well as courses and skills. And it covers the basics of jobs and work roles, but it does not cover actual employment records. So my broader question to this group is, what would be useful in terms of how we bring schemas together? Is there employment records schema that is broadly used or could be adapted? And what could we do that's useful to connect that to CTDL? For example, we've offered to connect CTDL to JDX, but I know that's only part of this schema realm. So what would be helpful?
Dimitri, I don't know if you had a sort of response to Deb, or you wanted to ask another question.
Just wanted to add a quick response. So one thing I think would be really helpful from a developer standpoint is if maybe as a standalone video or maybe as a presentation here on one of these calls, a tutorial of if you're a developer and you're creating for a pilot or a deployment, let's say a course credential, here's how you would add data enrichment using CTDL. So I think teaching credential developers about the low-hanging fruit data enrichment might be really helpful, that's not solely to the question you asked of employment credentials specifically, but I think in general it would be really helpful.
Yeah, we'd be happy to do that. I'll also put a link in the chat to the badge publisher guide that we've written collaboratively with.
Oh, that's great.
But that is specifically about badges, but it's really in general about how you use an alignment to link data that's outside the credential that's issued. So it's generally available, generally applicable. But anyway, my question was like, where are the schema boundaries? Do those need to be boundaries? How can we link things together? Because I thought the examples that you showed, Jen, were interesting in part because they overlap employment and education and training credentials. So just putting it out there that we want to be collaborative on this front and let us know what would be useful.
Yeah, thanks. I totally agree. The lines are a little bit blurry on how we define kind of the metadata or even the schema of a credential. And it's a little bit subjective. So, yeah, it's a great thing to work towards.
Sharon, I assume you wanted to put yourself in the queue.
I hit enter the plus got added. So that was a mistake. I guess I wanted to rewind to earlier in the conversation where you were talking about the employer issued workforce credential. And I'm curious, in using Open Badge, which is designed not for that use case, where, like, did you encounter any sort of limits to that particular specification? Or, like, did you have recommendations for other people who are also using them for non sort of traditional education badging purposes?
From the display perspective or kind of broadly?
Broadly.
Yeah. So Workday we had implemented earlier with Badges 2.0. And at that point, we kind of bespokely stuck the badge in a VC and kind of display the badge. I think we had to kind of played around using them for employment scenarios, but I can't quite remember like any roadblocks we came to. We have not tested putting badges 3.0 at like the newer badges as credentials. So I can't directly answer to that. But we had kind of put them, I think we were mainly using them in for like a picture type display that could be displayed on some sort of social media. So that was the perspective we were coming from. But I don't have much more to elaborate. That didn't really answer your question. I think like the emphasis I would put is that we should treat badges just as we would treat any other VC, and not kind of, in my mind, give it like super special treatment. But, you know, it is essentially just a data model that we can use VCs to kind of wrap around it. So the more we incorporate like that badge into the whole VC ecosystem that we have existing, I think the more successful that badges will be. So that would be my comment on that.
Thank you, Jen, for that comment. And I think there is the value of this convergence between open badges and VCs is hopefully in the adoption realm, right? So, you know, badges have been around for a while, arguably, you know, with some momentum. And so if we make those badges even more verifiable, and we solve some of the problems that, you know, have been known in that spec, I think that is a beautiful synergy that, you know, can really help with adoption. So it's, as you say, it's now that open badges are special. I think I typically argue that, you know, they've been the ancestor of modern recognition technologies, and, you know, they may well be called verifiable credential as well. But I feel that this community, particularly this group, has been an architect of this convergence, you know, with the PlugFest for sure, and just in really just helping, supporting both the OneNet Tech working groups and what is happening here. So that's lovely. And maybe as this conversation was just hinting at, you know, the other one specification that is out there in the wild is the HR Open spec for employment records, you know. And so, and I know that Phil Long has been doing some work in that, so we should be able to herd, you know, all those cats together, at least keeping in some kind of sync.
Yeah, and I think Carrie mentioned that, you know, we have been contributors to the Open Badges 3.0 spec, so, you know, I'm trying to play an active role in that group to help make sure that the badges, the future of badges and the future of VCs converge in a really easy to use, nice way. So,
by the way, Jen, is the presentation that you shared something that you can publicly share with the group? Would love to.
Let me see if I can publish it. I gotta double check on that.
Sure. Okay, so let's see if anyone else has other questions for Jen. I mean, let me just emphasize how excited we are to have also Workday engage with this group. I mean, given the multiple facets that Workday could use, you know, to support the work, you know, with you just working on Interop, it's great, but I can see, like, if we ever get into, you know, the verification space and we verifiers, I wonder if, you know, we could talk about that, or if you could, you know, help us connect with someone in the Workday organization that would be the right person that sits on the consumption side of the equation. I'm thinking maybe, you know, Workday HR, if we go that way with Plugfest, having them be one of the verifiers feels like it would be kind of a great opportunity.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of possibilities and a lot of potential. And as we get the technology and the standards to where they need to be, I think it's a very exciting feature.
And we'll probably ask you and Christina to do like sort of a rerun of this again, maybe the two of you when, you know, Microsoft or LinkedIn is ready to kind of, you know, open up or share more about what's happening. But thank you for breaking the ice in a sense and just being able to share the great work that you've been doing together.
Yeah, thank you all for being a great audience and engaged. I really appreciate it.
All right, folks. So it looks like we can give us back just, you know, as little as 5 minutes. But thank you for the engagement. Thank you again, Jen, for sharing with us today, but also for the work that you have done and that you continue to do for this ecosystem. I sense there are different threads already here to follow up with you, and we will. And that said, I guess we'll see you in one of the upcoming Mondays. As always, we'll send out an agenda with the anticipating who our guests are. That's all, folks. Thank you again.
Sounds good. Thanks, everyone.
Eric, go ahead. Did you want to speak? Or you wanted to clap, maybe. I did that before.
No, that's right. I wanted to say thank you and clap, and I hit the wrong button, so I didn't actually intend to speak. But that was a great presentation. That was really, really helpful for me. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, thanks for clapping for me.